Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Well, you see those people out there in the morning and they're running and they're going to the store and they're getting up and enjoying the sunshine in the morning. Are those people that you see, are morning people truly happier? Or are you happier if you sleep in and lounge around? My guest is Dr. Shelby Friedman-Harris. She's a licensed psychologist and the director of Behavioral Sleep Medicine Program at the Sleep Wake Disorder Center at Montefiore. Welcome to the show, Dr. Harris. Now, let's talk a little bit about morning people. I myself am one, and I've trained my 10 and 13-year-old to go to bed at 7 at night, 7:30, wow. But they get up at 6.
Good for you.
Well, that's I'm happy about it. I like that. Now, are morning people truly happier?
You know, there have been a few studies over the past few years that have suggested that morning people tend to be happier. And I think that there's a few reasons for it. One of it, which is that our society is built around more of an early morning day, so 9 to 5 or even 8 to 4 for most people. So the people who can get up earlier, they tend to be more productive because they're already awake at that time and they're at their most alert. So
well, not if you talk to any normal teenager, boy. Mm-hmm. Morning starts at about 4 in the afternoon.
Right, and that's, you know, that's very, very normal for a lot of teenagers to really, their circadian rhythms, which are these clocks in our bodies, actually start to go a little later. So teenagers want to go to sleep around 1 or 2 usually, and then sleep until 10, 11, or as late as 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And there's actually a really big movement in the sleep field to move high school start times later, because we find that if it matches up with your sleep schedule, they're much more productive, they learn more, it's great all around.
Okay, so, well, and you mentioned circadian rhythms. Mm-hmm. Can you change them? Because over the years, I've had patients and clients that have been, oh, I wish I was a morning person. I just can't. Tomorrow I'm going to start. Can you change it?
You can. It takes some practice. But for someone who's just off by about an hour or two, they want to get up an hour or two earlier than usual, those patients, we usually recommend bright sunlight in the morning. A lot of people get up and they have all their shades drawn, they get in the shower and it's dimly lit, and then they just go in their car and they go right to work. But if you can really sit and get a lot of bright sunlight, or even with, you know, the talking to an ophthalmologist to make sure your eyes are okay, using even a light box can be really effective to help shift you so that you can actually wake up earlier and go to bed earlier every night.
Well, as a you know, specialist in sleep medicine, is it more productive that morning sleep from, say, 6 a.m. to 8 or 9, or that nighttime sleep from, say, 9 o'clock to 11?
You know, it differs. So when everyone talks about better sleep and the point when you should get better sleep, there's no such thing, at least in my opinion, as to what's the best timing for sleep. It's that you want to make sure you're getting all the different sleep stages. So in the early part of the night, you're getting much deeper sleep. Later in the night, you're getting more of that REM sleep, which is when you dream more and your brain is really processing emotions and thoughts and all that sort of stuff. But it's about getting the mix properly. But if you're someone who tends to get that mix, but it's much later, you don't go to bed until 1 or 2 in the morning, and you're sleeping until 10, you might be missing out on the rest of the stuff that's going on in the world in the morning.
And you mentioned light. Now, if you have a room that does not have darkening shades, so in the morning, the light comes pouring in at 5:30 and kind of just gets you at least moving around. Is that better for you than having a really dark room?
I would say to anybody to have a really dark room, but to be very good at setting that alarm clock for the time you need to go and wake up, and then just opening all the shades right away. And usually, like I tell people, when you're eating breakfast, try and, if you're not running around all the time, sit in front of a window and eat breakfast. Or most people are wearing, I mean, we need to have sunglasses a lot of times in the morning, but try to make sure like your desk is near a bright light window if you can. All that sort of stuff in the morning is better than having the shades open all night, because even during the time you need to sleep, if there's a little bit of light outside and it's, you know, like sometimes there's a street light, that can impact your ability to sleep at night.
Well, I don't think I know anybody who really jumps up in the morning and says, yay, I get to go to work today.
Right.
You know, we still all have to kind of drag ourselves out of bed.
Right. I tell everybody to wait an hour to judge how awake they are. So don't judge it right when you get up in the morning.
Yep. Okay, because, I mean, even if you are a morning person, it's tough to get up.
Oh, yeah. I think it's tough to get up, but I think a lot of us are still sleep deprived too.
Well, okay. So speak about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. How much sleep truly do we need?
Yeah, you know, there's a huge variety, but about 80%, 70 to 80% of the population needs between 6 and 9 hours of sleep a night consistently. So that's where they kind of get that 7.5 to 8 from, is because it's in the middle. There are some people who tend to need even less than 6 and do fine and they don't have any problems, and some people actually need more than 9. But the majority of people need somewhere between 6 and 9 hours a day.
And now there's a real direct link between obesity and sleep deprivation.
Exactly. If you don't get enough sleep, it can put your body into a metabolic syndrome, which basically means that you're not metabolizing the food that you eat as well. And also, when you're sleep deprived, you tend to crave high-energy foods, so people tend to crave more sugar, more carbohydrates to get energy because they haven't been sleeping. And all those things then lead to weight gain, and then weight gain can then lead to things such as heart disease, stroke. It can lead to sleep apnea and a whole host of other problems.
And what about the melatonin factor? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge thing today, and the products all over the market, and, you know, do they work? Is it going to help you? If you're sleep-deprived, are you not getting the melatonin that you need?
Right. So melatonin, in the sleep field, we call it the hormone of darkness. So it comes out when the sun starts to go down a little bit, ideally, and it makes us go to sleep. Melatonin over-the-counter is actually very effective for sleep when you want to start going to bed earlier, but I always recommend to work with a sleep specialist because it's all about the timing and your own body's clock, but it's actually very effective to kind of shift you to go to bed a little earlier and wake up earlier. But like I said, work with a specialist on that. If you're using it for insomnia or just to try and get a few more hours, it's not always the best thing to be using. There are other treatments that are usually better.
Well, and you see these things on the market, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and so people are willing to try anything when they feel sleep deprived, especially if it comes along with anxiety, the stress, turning our minds off, Dr. Harris. Women, we never turn our minds off.
Right. And I think working with someone or trying to-do lists, relaxation exercises, stress reduction. There are a lot of great books out there on how to do relaxation exercises and stress reduction and learn to do to-do lists like an hour before bed. It's all a great thing to do. And the other thing is we're always on like our iPads, our phones, watching TV. All of that stuff messes with our brain's natural ability to produce melatonin, which then makes us sleepy. So we really have to turn off all screens and try and work on turning off your brain that hour before bed to make time to sleep.
Best sleep advice, alcohol, yes or no?
Alcohol might make you a little sleepy, but it makes the quality of your sleep much worse, and you wake up a lot more in the middle of the night. So we do not recommend it.
And what about things you can try at home to get a better night's sleep? You said turn off all electronics at least an hour before. Power down. Don't sit there with your iPad right in your bed and messing around. What else?
Exactly. Another thing is that we hear this a lot. People say the bed's only for two things, sleep and sex, and that's very true. So if you're laying in bed and you're just thinking about everything you need to do the next day, you're watching TV, get out of bed. Go sit somewhere else in dim light, do something quiet, calm, relaxing until you're actually sleepy. Otherwise, you're just going to be laying in bed awake, tossing and turning, looking at the clock. Not a good thing to do. And the one other thing I always recommend is if you're laying in bed for a lot of hours at night, like you're only sleeping 6 hours a night, but you're spending 9 hours laying in bed, maybe only spend 6 or 7 hours in bed a night. Limit it. Go to bed a little later, but get up at the same time every day, and you might fall asleep a little faster and stay asleep more throughout the night.
And in the last 30 seconds, best mm-hmm. advice for morning people being happier, whether it's true or not, and getting your very best night's sleep.
I think if you're a morning person and you're getting up, or anybody, make sure you get a lot of bright light in the morning. Bathe yourself in bright light and power down at night so you're not getting a lot of light before bed at night.
Power down. And women, you know, make your to-do lists, keep them somewhere else.
Exactly.
And if you have to jump up, go write down more things on your to-do list and then go back. Don't keep it right next to your bed or you'll really be tempted to like lean over and say, oh my God, I forgot to write down that I had to pay the electric bill. And of course, that's what it's all about right here is staying well, staying healthy. And that's what we do here at Radio MD. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Sleep well and stay well.